Hello and welcome to A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. So we've got a really good one for you this week. First off, I'll be looking at RoboCop, which is a modern day reboot of the 1987 original, which I'm sure you'll all cherish and remember. Secondly, we've got The Monuments Men, directed by George Clooney, with a star-studded cast including Bill Murray and John Goodman. So if you have any comments on any of the films today, be sure to send them to Facebook.com/TheBoatBegins, and you might appear on next week's show. Otherwise, sit back, relax, and enjoy A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on whenever you're listening, or wherever you're listening, I suppose. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I think when I said John Goodman, I sound probably a bit French than that. John Goodman? not at all as intended. But yeah, maybe we should get down to business. Time is of the essence. So, RoboCop, a reboot of the 1987 original. Now, as a kid, it was one of my films I very much liked and enjoyed, and I have very fond memories of. I decided before going to see the film last week, actually went on Valentine's Day, funny enough, that I would sit down and revisit it and watch it again. And first and foremost, I was surprised that I actually watched it so much as a kid and enjoyed it so much. I forgot how actually gruesomely violent the original was. But it got me really thinking, actually, before going to see the film. Is it something, you know, that would really live up to expectations, you know? And it's, you know, it was very much a classic, you know. I didn't even realize it was that old, 1987. You know, it came out the year I was born, and still for me, it was one of, you know, my favorite films I've ever watched. So I think from that very much point of view, it's very interesting that they would reboot it and bring it back to life. I must admit, when I first saw the adverts in the cinema for, you know, the up-and-coming reboot of RoboCop, I did get quite excited by it, purely because, you know, that nostalgic, you know, feeling about the film. But at the same time, I think, you know, any self-respecting fan of the old franchise would go into something like this with kind of maybe lowered expectations, you know, because surely, you know, something that great before that you have such good memories of could only possibly be disappointing in a way. First and foremost, I've got to say my initial impression, you know, before really going delving deeper into it, is actually I very much enjoyed this film, and I was pleasantly surprised when, and actually I left it, you know, I turned to Lucy my half, and I was just like, I could watch that again. You know, I thought it was, you know, really, really quite enjoyable. So for any of you who don't know the story of RoboCop, first off, have you been living under a rock? But secondly, I guess I'll explain it for you. It's essentially about a good cop in Detroit, and it's set in the future, 2028, I believe. So only 14 years from now, so not too distant in the future, but distant enough. And, you know, crime is in a bad way in Detroit. You know, you got your crooked cops, your gangsters, and things are generally in a bad way. However, around the world, the law enforcement and military is very much utilizes machines and robots to essentially keep the peace. However, at the same time, the States is the only place, United States of America is the only place that doesn't utilize these machines because they essentially disagree with them. And I found that actually quite an interesting point, that this is thrown in your face straight away. And you've got this idea that they feel it's good enough for the rest of the world to control, you know, down and trodden third world countries, yet not for themselves. So it's almost like a world dictatorship. And I think that in itself is a very interesting kind of idea that they very much kick the film off with. But of course, the corporation that owns and creates the robots, Omnicorp, as you can imagine, have a big evil faceless company. For them, the real way to make money again to the market is to put these robots on the ground in America. And of course, they want people to think it's like a noble cause, essentially. You know, let's keep the peace. People, you know, won't die. police officers won't die because we'll have robots in the line of fire. But of course, at the end of the day, it comes down to their bottom line. So you've got that kind of conflict there. And it's quite interesting because the question is asked very early on, you know, about, and I think it's almost like it's not a film about robots. It raises the idea that should a robot or a machine replace a person, and talks about, you know, even with an artificial intelligence, can they feel, you know, can they react, and can they actually take the place of humans? And obviously, I suppose it's in the same way as nowadays you have a machine that may do the job as a human quite quicker. You know, at its simplest level, you can have maybe automatic tills in a Tesco's or any other supermarket when you have one person running 8 tills at a time instead of one person manning a single till. So it's kind of raises those interesting questions. Now, getting back to the storyline, obviously this idea that they want to get the robots in the streets in America so they can make their money is, you know, it's about them finding a way that they can really push this on the public and encourage them that this is the right thing to do. So again, if you're not familiar with the story of RoboCop, I'd be very surprised. But, you know, for those of you who don't, the way they say do this, instead of just throwing a robot on the street, they go, let's put a man inside a robot. So it's, even though aesthetically, you know, it could seem like a human, you know, internally, you know, it's got the robotics and can do this job that they want, that a machine could do. And at the same time, maybe save many lives in the process. So, of course, you have Alex Murphy. He's the main protagonist in it. Good cop at the start, you know, getting on with his job. And unfortunately, in the line of duty, things go wrong for him. And if you've seen the original, it goes quite badly wrong for him in a very gruesome way. But in this one, it's not quite as graphic as the original. So I guess that's all right, especially given that it's a 12A rating. So when things go wrong for him, he's selected for this program. Now, what I think really differentiates the modern day RoboCop from the old RoboCop is actually in the way that it touches on the emotional side of things and the way that the RoboCop develops. Now, it's actually, again, that it doesn't ruin anything, because you see in the adverts when Alex Murphy comes to, he is still got his memories, whereas in the original one he hasn't got his memories. So you don't kind of see that in initial development. It's a bit different in the original one, where it's like he's about discovering himself, whereas in this they've actually opted to have him know who he is and almost have it as a confusing situation, like he's just woken up from a bad dream into possibly an even worse one. And that emotional development of the character to kind of going, you know, where am I, what am I, and kind of the opening line when he comes to, and he's talking to Gary Oldman, who gives fantastic performance, and one of the first things, and you hear it in the advert as well, and he goes, I'm disabled, I can't move. And it's that, it's the realization, you know, in the way he develops from actually, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And actually, I think at the same way, if you compared it to other superhero films, and I heard, again, an interview with Gary Oldman where he explains this very well, is that it kind of touches on the fact strongly that RoboCop isn't a superhero someone would aspire to be. You know, you have Batman with all his gadgets, and as well Superman, you know, he can leap buildings, you know, Thor controls thunder and stuff like that. But then RoboCop, you know, what's the redeeming feature that someone would want to aspire to be him? So actually then you're pulled into and taking on a journey of, you know, this character of his emotional development and him having to deal with what it is to be pulled into the machine and to be in a situation that really wasn't his choice. And I think that was actually a fantastic move by the writers of the film, and kind of really differentiates it as well from the reboot, because you know, you could be going in and they could have just gone for the easy option, remade the original film and not added any kind of different twists to it. And I think it does it very well to bring into the modern age. Now, for me, I think the really big thing, especially for you know, the audience that's going to be there, I'd suppose it's kind of twofold, because I think you have people probably like maybe my age and older, you know, right up, you know, to, well, it's hard to say, you know, the original's made in 1987, but I'd say, you know, to mid-20s up to, you know, 40-plus are going to watch it and really get a nostalgic feeling. Like I mentioned earlier, and for me it was a bit that was pretty awesome is when it shows the opening credits and or the opening, you know, the film title RoboCop, and it comes across the screen and it starts playing the theme music from the original film, and I'll tell you what, you just want to turn and high five someone in the cinema at that point. It's like, yes, you know, and you recognize it instantly. I hadn't heard it for years, and to be honest, I couldn't even sing it back to you or anything like that, but when you hear it you're like, oh yes, you know, RoboCop's here, and it's that kind of nostalgic feeling. Whilst at the same time, I think it does enough for those younger audiences who may not really be aware of the film, aware of what RoboCop's about, to kind of really pull them back into the franchise and ensure they have an interest in it. One thing I would say about this film is about the pacing. It's actually something I talk about a lot is, you know, I am of the feeling, and I feel quite strongly about that, a film doesn't have to be long to be good. You know, you get so many films nowadays that could be like, you know, anything when you go to cinema, you could end up being there from 1.5 hours all the way up to, you know, 3 hours, 20 minutes, depending on what you choose to see. Now, RoboCop was around 2 hours long, and I'd say it's paced so well and has such a good mix of action and drama to it that I didn't find myself bored or wondering, you know, is it almost over? When's it going to finish? Which is fantastic. You know, by the time I got to the end, I still wanted more. And actually, I think it's paced so perfectly with the balance between the emotional side of things as Murphy comes to terms with, you know, who he is and where he's going, you know, to the really well done action scenes and the CGI on it is fantastic. You know, you look at it and you're like, well, these guys could have built robots. You know, it looks that fantastic. And there, at no point was I sitting there, you know, as I have done in films before, and it does happen to me a lot where I'm just like, oh, is this, you know, are we almost there? And by the end of the film, I was sitting there wanting more, you know, after all the adventures were had and the storyline was kind of wrapped up. I was sitting there thinking to myself, oh, I could sit and watch another adventure of this guy right now, which is a really good feeling to be leaving the cinema with. I would say that at its essence, the film had a really brilliant balance of drama and action, as I mentioned earlier. So it did leave me wanting more. And actually in a way, I think it was similar to the Batman films in that sense that you're sitting there at the end going, you know, will there be more? And you leave asking those questions about what could be happening next. Now, I mentioned earlier, the film does really well to reach out to new audiences as well as previous fans of the franchise, and with that you get a lot of really nice Easter eggs in it, so like quotes and things you'll notice, and particularly some of the ones I thought were really obvious is for example RoboCop, you know, quoting dead or alive, you're coming with me, you know, which he says in the original film, and of course the I'd buy that for a dollar pops up in there as well, which is from the game show in the original film. So you get those kind of bits, those throwback pieces to the original films, which is amazing for any fan, and what fans really want to see in there. And particularly the bit I'd buy that for a dollar, sat there watching, you're thinking, oh, you know, when's this going to come up? Is it going to be quite subtle? Is it going to be you know, the game show showing up? So that those types of things are really nice to having the sort of film, so it reached out to both audiences, old and new. So I guess to sum up, RoboCop, really fantastic film. Again, I should mention who's in it because there's some fantastic performances. Joel Kinnaman playing RoboCop, Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton, some really good pieces. And of course, Samuel Jackson's in it as well, obviously a very recognizable character. Yeah, I would highly recommend getting to see it. And to be honest, I can't wait to see it again. I've even discussed getting down to see it again at the cinema before it comes out, if I have another chance. But yeah, the other thing I would say is it's made me really want to go watch the originals again. You know, I've watched the first one recently, but you know, 2 and 3 and kind of see how they stack up and how this one stacks up against the rest of them. So I'd highly recommend it. Get out there, go see it. Okay, so with that in mind, RoboCop, great. I guess we've got coming up next The Monuments Men, but before that, it's my film of the week, or pick of the week, if you will. We'll be right back. Okay, it's time for my pick of the week. I guess by now you must have guessed what I'm going to be suggesting everyone does, and that's jump onto Netflix and watch RoboCop 1, 2, or 3, so kind of a triple threat here for you. So if you have not seen the RoboCop films yet, for the love of God, get onto Netflix and watch them. They're there and ready and available for you. In fact, if you plan to go and see RoboCop reboot in the cinema, watch number one as soon as you can before you go and see it, because it'll make your experience all the much better for doing so. So that's my pick of the week, RoboCop, Netflix. Do it. Okay, you'll be happy to know I'm going to stop talking about films with robots in for the time being now, at least until next time. And now we're going to be having a good look at The Monuments Men, which came out last weekend, I believe, the 14th of Valentine's Day. So The Monuments Men, it's a wartime film directed by George Clooney. Now, the first thing I'm going to say about this film is that the cast behind it is, as soon as I saw the adverts, is one of the things that really dragged me in. So to name but a few, obviously we have George Clooney, who's director, as well as starring in it. Then you also have Matt Damon, Bill Murray, John Goodman, Kate Blanchett. And, you know, that alone, you look at it and you go, this has got to be a great film. You know, for me specifically, you know, you've got Bill Murray and John Goodman there. You know, what could possibly be bad about it? Well, I wouldn't say it's a bad film per se. You know, it's definitely an interesting watch. However, it's not without its faults. So for those of you who don't know, The Monuments Men is a wartime film actually set towards the end of World War II. And the President Roosevelt in America essentially signed this declaration or whatever it is to set up this group called The Monuments Men. And their sole purpose would be to save the art, you know, wartime art. And the idea behind it is, by saving this, even though the fact you can destroy thousands upon thousands of people, you know, you're saving their history. So it's an interesting idea, but, and I must admit, I hadn't actually heard of this idea myself before the film had come out. You know, I knew stuff about, obviously, Hitler was well known as a failed artist and those types of things, but I didn't realize this idea that he was trying to steal art to build this huge museum. So George Clooney in the film is tasked with pulling together this group of Monuments Men, and they're all not young budding soldiers, but rather older guys who are generally art experts and just really knowledgeable in their field, with this purpose of going over to Europe and helping locate pieces of art. Now, for me, the real kind of key flaw with the film I found through watching it is, despite the great cast, I actually sat there thinking to myself, I think this would make a better documentary than a drama as such. You know, for me, there was nothing really to pull me in and capture me, you know. And again, the core of the film is around them finding different pieces of art. Now, having watched the advert, it's quite funny when I watched it. You know, you see this great cast and you're like, there's some comedic moments, there's some dramatic moments, and you don't really know where it's going to fall. Is it going to be an action film? Is it going to be a comedy, you know, with people like Bill Murray doing their thing, John Goodman? Is it going to be a drama? And actually, the tone of the film, it's very much caught up in a realm of, it can't decide what it's going to be. It very much bounces around from one moment, you know, in pretty much every moment, every time in the film, the whole group, the whole Monuments Men get together, at the end of it, you know, Bill Murray's always making a wisecrack, and you go, well, laugh at that, because it's Bill Murray, you know, you're not going to laugh at Bill Murray, but at the same time, you're sitting there going, well, what's the tone of this film? Something dead serious has just happened, or something, you know, there's been a little bit of action, and I think that kind of lets the film down. Now, like I said, I feel it would make a much better documentary, because I found myself, you know, looking there, and the interesting things about this story, I think, is the pieces of art and the histories behind them and where they're going, where they come from, and what they had to do to locate them. And I feel the film doesn't really delve deep enough into that, and nor can it, because it's meant to be, you know, a dramatic piece. And what they've tried to do is take maybe specific pieces that the Monuments Men were looking for and try and build drama around them for one way or another. And to be honest, I don't feel it really worked, because first off, you know, it seemed to be George Clooney was the only character sort of focusing on a soul piece to create that drama. And quite frankly, I just found I didn't care. It was more like I just wanted to accomplish the overall mission. But the fact that there's one or two pieces which they're trying to base the sentiment around, there wasn't enough in it to make me sentimental enough to be like, you know, jump for joy if they found it or be disappointed if they don't. And I think that's actually a real sort of letdown. To touch on the tone side of things, like I said, it is rather confused about, you know, is it an action, a drama, a comedy? Something I've seen pointed out by various reviewers and stuff like that is the fact that the tagline has the word heist in it. So it's like the biggest heist in history. Now, that seems almost like a bit of a playful word, you know, the biggest heist. And I think that creates a problem from the get-go, because you're looking at that and you think it's going to be some kind of big caper comedy or something kind of film with big set pieces, and quite frankly it's not. I can't really think back personally about any really core moments that stood out for me. Well, there's one or two, but not sort of in that way that it's some kind of big heist going on. You know, it really isn't your typical action film, even though interestingly, you know, genre-wise and stuff like IMDb, it does say it's an action film. An action film. You know, it didn't really have that many action scenes. I suppose there's a few kind of exciting, interesting ones. But there's not a lot to it. And it also, I do think it felt as though it jumped around a bit too much, the story of the film. And again, this sits with the tone side of things, because one minute you'll be following one of the Monuments Men having a very sentimental moment, the other one will be having a sad moment, the other one will be having an action moment, the other one will be having a comedy moment. And you're like, well, how am I meant to feel, you know? You're jumping around and pulling me back and forth so much. I don't have time to settle and really concentrate on what's happening. I would say, you know, for me, there was one moment that was kind of really... I really liked, and probably my favorite moment of the film is a fairly subtle one actually, and it's a moment involving kind of Bill Murray, and it's where, you know, he essentially shares a cigarette with one of the German soldiers, and for me that kind of really touched home in the way that actually, you know, these guys are all people, and you know, people doing their bad things and their good things, or what's perceived as bad and good by, you know, depending on what side you are. And that was kind of a really nice moment. Then of course, next thing you know, we're jumping somewhere else and the tone changes quite again. So I don't think it was quite as impactful as it could have been, but you know, you do have things like that going on, which, you know, again, it's almost like a sketch show you're sitting there watching, because it's all back and forth. But moments like that really, you know, are kind of enjoyable for you as you're watching it. Now, my biggest kind of quarrel with the movie, and again, you know, you can hear, I'm disappointed, because it's got a great cast list, but it's just not lived up at all to my expectation. Maybe it was just a bit too high going in. Is I won't give it away, but I felt the ending was particularly silly, and you know, one of the big things is the ending. There's two points. There's one point I thought was really silly, which I won't give away. You can find out if you see it, and then come back and maybe ask me what I thought of it later. But then there's a second point of, it's like, you know, does anyone care? And like I said earlier, you know, there's no drama built up into it. There's nothing making me feel relatable to these characters who are basically traveling around Europe. And that's the whole story. They're traveling around Europe trying to find pieces of art. I wasn't, you know, blown away in the fact that it just didn't matter to me. And it's quite possibly because of the fact that actually the film treated the audience quite stupidly. It pretty much every chance he got, you know, George Clooney's up making speeches about trying to hit home the purpose of, you know, why they're doing this. And actually, you could have done it the once you spelled it out. You know, there's different ways to spell things out, but they're making it quite obvious and trying to really dumb it down a bit. And actually, at the end of the film, you know, or by the end of the film, when it's like, you know, does anyone care what these guys accomplish, you know, and the film really tries to answer it for you. In actual fact, you should be going away and answering it yourself, you know, and if if they feel they've had to answer for the audience the question of does it matter what these guys did? And obviously, you know, it does matter. You know, and when it comes to the real life story, and if you're reading the book or if it was a documentary, you look at this and you would care. However, I think as a drama, you know, there was nothing to make me care about the outcome of the Monuments Men and their mission, which is really unfortunate because I think it had a lot of potential in there. So to summarize, you know, and I could go on all day about the tone. I would say it was a good cast and it was well acted. An interesting subject, but it was, you know, the subject was good, but it was the story that was really lacking for me. And I think it could have been made into a stronger film, maybe if, I don't know how much they deviated from the real life story, but obviously we know all films based on a true story are based on a true story. You know, you need to have an element of drama in there to make them possibly more interesting than would have been in real life, especially if you're, you know, making it for an audience in a film. And I think more could have been done to kind of pull it together and make it a bit more tidy so that it made people care a bit more and not jump around and keep changing tone every two seconds. I think for me personally, in terms of subject, I think it's a good way to introduce it. I would like to go away and maybe do a bit of reading about the Monuments Men and what happened in real life. I think a documentary would could be really interesting about it. But all in all, I think it was rather weak, especially for the cast that was there. Is it worth a watch? I'd probably say, you know, if with the other things available at the moment, you could possibly get away with waiting for it to come out on DVD. If you have a really, really strong interest in the subject matter, then why not? You know, night out at the cinema is always nice. But all in all, I think for the cast and what was expected, I was rather disappointed. But hey, that's life. Okay, so that was The Monuments Men. And I must apologize, actually, because I realized on Facebook all week I've been calling it Monument Men, so had the title completely wrong. that's no good. It's almost as bad as someone calling Samuel Jackson Lawrence Fishburne, I guess. But well, maybe not quite that bad. So I guess that's your lot. So we had RoboCop, which I really enjoyed. It's great for anyone new to the franchise or someone who's a previous fan. Just get there and see it, and I really hope you enjoy it as much as I did. My pick of the week was the RoboCop series as well. You know, obviously we've got a theme here, all available on Netflix, or, you know, just go out and purchase it on DVD. You won't regret it. And then finally, The Monuments Men. A great cast, a lot of potential, but unfortunately the story just didn't deliver for me. It was all over the shop, and its tone just wasn't right. This has been A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. You've all been fantastic, and hopefully I'll see you next week with a few half-term family films. Thanks. Bye.